Well, it is a privilege to be here tonight to talk about the topic on how to evangelize fallen away Catholics, how to bring them back to the practice of the faith and to Christ. Now, I'm glad I was able to do a few juggling tricks for you at the beginning, because I know when we're done here tonight by midnight, you know, some of you might not be here. No, I'm just teasing. Well, maybe talk for 30, 40 minutes and then give you a chance to ask some questions. So, But I do enjoy juggling. I taught myself how to juggle out of Christendom College. We formed the St. John Bosco Juggling Club because he was the patron saint of jugglers and acrobats. And there is one little story that, I don't know if it's a true story, but apparently a juggler was pulled over by a police officer for speeding. And the officer knew that he had machetes in the back of the car, so he was going to arrest him for carrying dangerous weapons. So the fellow said, "No, I'm a juggler." And the officer said, "Got to prove it." So he took him on the side of the highway and said, "Start juggling." So the fellow's there juggling on the side of the highway. All these cars were whizzing by. And just then, like an old couple drives by, and they look at this sight, and the police officer there, the fellow juggling machetes. The husband turns to his wife and says, "Honey, remind me never to drink and drive. I could never pass those new sobriety tests." So I'm glad I got to do a few juggling tricks for the young and the young of heart that are here. It's a great topic tonight. The topic I was asked to speak on is really how to bring back fallen away Catholics. Out of curiosity, how many of you know any fallen away Catholics? Maybe someone in your own family, brother, sister, niece, nephew, son, daughter, grandchildren, spouse, parents. Do any of you have any fallen away Catholics in your family, or as relatives, or people that you work with? I see a show of hands. Yes, almost 100%. So, they say that the largest Christian denomination in America is Catholic. Now, the second largest denomination in America is fallen away Catholics. So, we have a lot of work to do. We have our work cut out for us. So, we want to talk about how we can bring back fallen away Catholics, because we do have many that were baptized Catholic that no longer practice. Remember a cute little story of a fellow got marooned on a deserted island, and he was there for 20 years, and when they discovered him, he was living like Robinson Crusoe. He had built hammocks and houses and a well, and they noticed that there were two churches that he had built on the island. And they said to him, "Well, you know, we know why you built all these things. Why did you build two churches?" And he says, "Well, that's the church I go to now. And that's the church I used to go to." There's a lot of truth to that, that we have many people that, you know, have switched churches or fallen away from the faith. So our job is to get them back. The first thing that we need to realize that God wants them back even more than we do. God wants them back in His infinite love. See, we only have finite love. God has infinite love, and He wants souls to come back to Him, to come back to His church, to come back to the sacraments. The Bible says God does not want the sinner to die, but to live. And we know the scripture says that God wills that everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God will give sufficient grace for each person to be saved. Whether or not they are, it's whether they respond to the grace that they're given. We have free will. We can say yes, we can say no. But the church teaches God gives everyone enough grace for salvation. Grace is there. So the first thing we should remember in bringing back fallen away Catholics is that it's primarily God's work and God's job. He loves these souls infinitely more than we do. So it really is God who brings back fallen away Catholics. So we can say it's all God's grace. However, God sometimes uses people, places, and things to be His channels or His instruments to bring people back to church. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is how we can cooperate with God to be instruments of conversion, instruments of evangelization, so that we can play our part in bringing people back to the church. So how can we be good instruments of God's grace? You see, we're either instruments or obstacles to God's grace. We don't want to be an obstacle to God's grace. We want to be an instrument, so that His grace will flow through us. Why is it that some people leave the church? Well, I came up with a number of reasons. One is that, well, maybe they really never knew the faith to begin with. Maybe they had poor catechesis. Maybe they were never taught the teachings of the faith. Maybe they were taught incorrect teachings. Maybe they were never really formed in their faith. And so it was easy for some of them to fall away. Others, however, were taught the teachings of the faith, and maybe they lived them for a while. But then the temptations of the world, maybe sin, maybe, oh, who knows what, led them away from the practice of the faith. Others may have been hurt, maybe by a priest or a nun, maybe years ago. Maybe they were hurt by the church. Maybe they were turned away because of some of the scandals in the church. So we're going to address these things and try to see how we can help heal those wounds. Because a lot is at stake, you know, in bringing back fallen away Catholics, because, you know, there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a purgatory. And since heaven and hell and purgatory exist, we want everybody to go to heaven. That's our desire. That's our goal. And so our job is to help souls get to heaven. And Vatican II was very clear that those who had the faith and who reject it are in a very tenuous situation. So our job is to help bring them back and to be an instrument to do that. I said, there's a very good passage in Scripture. Let me read a few sentences from the parable. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. I think by reading this, you'll see, maybe get some insight into why some people have left the Catholic Church and have drifted away. And great crowds gathered around the Lord, and he got into a boat and sat there, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, then the disciples were asking the Lord, what did you mean by that parable? This is one of the few parables in Scripture where the Lord actually explains. He gives us the interpretation. All the others we have to reflect ourselves. Here the Lord explains it. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. Okay, so the Lord tells us that the devil is real. The devil is very active. He doesn't want people to have the faith to get to heaven. And so he tries to snatch away the seed of faith that people have. So he does not want evangelization to be done, which is sharing the gospel. So there is an element here of the evil one, not wanting people to have the faith. Like that little bird who comes and takes that grain before it even has a chance to sink in to the soil. As for what was sown on rocky ground, and the rocky ground is talking about maybe a little layer of thin soil over a strata of rock. It might be 1 or 2 inches of soil down. And it's moist and the sun, you know, it sprouts up immediately. It says, he who hears the word of God receives it immediately with joy, yet it has no root in itself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So that's what we call shallow soil or shallow faith. These would be people maybe who never really knew the depths of their Catholic faith. They only had a certain level of knowledge of their faith. Maybe they were just baptized, but they weren't really catechized. See, Catholics are easy pickings in many countries. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses were all over the Philippines, all over South America, Latin America, because they're going after our Catholics, because many of them were just baptized. They have a thin layer of faith, but they don't really know why you believe in the Eucharist or Mary or the saints or purgatory or the Pope or confession to a priest or these different topics. And so when there's a persecution, when their faith is tested, it says they fall away because they don't have that depth of knowledge. And then it says, and for what was said among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. This, I think, is a lot of Catholics in America, because we live in such an affluent materialistic society that there are many people who have the faith, but it gets choked off because of many things. Materialism, but I'll also say here, temptations and allurements. Think of high school kids, college kids, maybe they start getting involved in things that they shouldn't, like alcohol, drugs, promiscuity, premarital sex, and what happens is these temptations choke off their faith. And eventually, when they go off to college, maybe they get sort of lousy teaching about the church in different universities or different colleges, and they're getting history and sociology from anti-Catholic points of view, and so their intellect is being challenged. And then you have all these temptations, the immorality, the drinking, the partying, the drugs, the promiscuity, and this chokes off their faith. And I've seen it happen so many times. There's also, I think, here, examples where the reason why many people abandon the faith is because of the moral teachings of the church, or the moral teachings of God, whether it be about marriage, or adultery, or divorce and remarriage. I think many Protestant churches are filled with former Catholics because they're married a second or third time. And what happens is when somebody is married in the church and then gets divorced and gets remarried again, they tend to drift away and go into other churches. And, for example, there's other cases where people could turn away from the Lord and from their Catholic faith because of moral teachings on abortion, homosexuality, contraception. These issues are when people, they let these issues choke off their faith. And a person can't really be sort of living in the Catholic faith as well as living a double life of committing these sins all the time. And so what happens is either they have to give up sin or they give up their faith. It's hard to have those two coexist for any length of time. People can try to do it. Many people struggle with the things, but usually what happens is they either through confession and the Eucharist give up their sins or they abandon their faith. And that's what's happened to many people. It's been choked off by the allurements of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then lastly, though, the Lord says there is some seed that falls on good soil. That is the person who hears the word and understands it. If you look at it, they hear the word and they understand it, okay? They take the faith to heart. They read the Bible. They read the catechism. They understand what the church teaches. And they bear fruit. 100 or 60 or 30-fold. That's what all of us want to be. We want to be good soil for the Lord. It's interesting how the word soil and soul are so closely related. So you can say this is the parable of the four different kinds of soils. The footpath, the shallow ground, the seed that falls amidst the thorns, and then the seed that falls on good soil. So really the parable of the four different kinds of souls that are out there in the world. So I think this can give us some insight into why some of our Catholics have fallen away from the faith. Because maybe they've been in the shallow part, they just don't know the faith that well. Maybe they've had the allurements of the world, the flesh and the devil, choke off their faith because of the temptations of the world. Or maybe the devil has gotten and pulled away their faith by using things like, oh, the scandals in the church, or when they were hurt by the church years ago. And the devil can use that, and usually that's an excuse that people have. And they say, well, I'm not going to go to church because of the lawsuits. I'm not going to go to church because a priest yelled at me 50 years ago. Well, how I respond to that, for example, is I deeply apologize, you know, on behalf of the Lord, on behalf of Christ. I apologize to them for that. And if they are willing, sometimes that apology can help make things better. For example, if they left the church because of what one priest said to them, yelled at them in confessional maybe, well, if they're rejecting the entire church because of one priest, well, then hopefully I can apologize then on behalf of the entire church because I'm one priest as well. So that's the idea that we should get across. And just because we get a bad operator on the phone doesn't mean we get rid of our, throw out the whole phone and get rid of the whole phone company. Just because it might be a bad lawyer out there, we don't think law is bad, or a bad police officer. We don't think the police force is bad. Yes, there are good and bad in every walk of life, in every field. And even among the 12 apostles, even among the 12, you had a Judas who betrayed the Lord, and you had St. Peter who denied the Lord 3 times. Remember, these were the hand-picked ones that Christ himself chose. And so even in the early church, not everybody was perfect. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that these are some ideas that you can share with people if they say that they left the church because of, let's say they were hurt, they had the feelings hurt. Well, then you as a Catholic can apologize on behalf of the church and hopefully help them come back to the Lord. So some of the things, of course, we can do to offset these, you know, 3 reasons why people leave is to try to increase people's knowledge of the faith. And we do this through homilies, through books, through tapes, and things which we'll talk about in a few moments. When people leave the church because of sin or getting involved in immorality and they can't really feel they get out of it, here's where prayer and penance comes in, that we can pray and do penance for their conversion. And maybe they will, through God's grace, have a conversion experience and come back to the church. And also, if they've had a bad experience with the church, let's see if we can give them a good experience, a better experience with the church. So what can we do to bring back fallen away Catholics? Well, the answer is, I believe, is we need to try to come in contact with them and have them come in contact with holy people, holy places, and holy things. That's what I want to spend the next few moments on, talking about what we can do as instruments of the Lord, holy people, and then holy places, and holy things. And if we do this, I think we can be good instruments of the Lord. And we all know that holy people have, like the saints, have done a tremendous amount of good in bringing people into the church or back to the church. Think of what Mother Teresa did. Sometimes when people just met Mother Teresa, they were instantly converted. They were so impressed by seeing her holiness. And many people, I've heard stories of when people saw Mother Teresa, immediately they wanted to go to confession. And they would look around for a priest. The same thing happened in the life of, you read, Catherine of Siena. When Catherine of Siena would walk down the street, it says hardened sinners would be converted. I can also think of examples, St. Pius X. Pius X, the Pope around the turn of the century, he was in the Vatican and they were carrying him on, remember the papal chair that they used to, before the days of the Pope Mobile, they used to carry the Pope on the chair, and there was an Anglican Episcopalian minister that was there. It says he saw the Pope pass by and he just was so impressed by the holiness of the Pope, he instantly was given the gift of faith and wanted to become a Catholic. And so when he went back to England, he took instructions and became a Catholic. Many people were converted by Pope John Paul II because of the holiness of Pope John Paul II. When I was in the seminary at Mount St. Mary's, there was a friend of mine who, the time he went to see the Pope at the mall in Washington, D.C., maybe it was like 1979 or some year like that, this friend of mine was a fallen away Catholic. He went there to see the Pope, and he wasn't sure if the Pope was the Vicar of Christ or the Antichrist. He didn't know. But he went, and when he heard the Pope speak, he was instantly converted. And he had not gone to confession in about 10 years. And he looked around, and there was a priest in the crowd. And he walked up, and he went to confession right there on the spot after hearing the words of the Holy Father. So these are just examples of how the holiness of a person's life can convert people. So the greatest thing you can do, I think, to bring back Paul to the Catholics is to try to become as close to the Lord yourself as you possibly can. We need to pray and to show love and charity towards our fallen away brothers and sisters in the faith. They're part of our family. They're part of the family of God. And our job is to help them come back. Sacrifice, penance, mortification, these are things that we should be doing for our fallen away Catholic brothers and sisters, your children, your grandchildren. The Blessed Mother of Fatima said, many souls go to hell because they have no one to pray and offer sacrifices for them. The Blessed Mother told us that. Are we willing to be the Saint Monicas in the lives of others? Saint Monica, as you know, was married to a pagan who, for prayers, her husband got baptized before his death. Also, her son Augustine was away from the church for over 20 years. You all know the story of St. Augustine. He had been living with a girlfriend, had an illegitimate child. Monica never stopped praying for him. And in the meantime, 20 years of prayer, she herself became a saint. See how God works. See, God is very sneaky. Let me let you in the secret. If you have a fallen away son or daughter or grandkids, when you pray for them, they're benefiting because of your prayers, but you also are growing closeness with the Lord. If all your kids were angels and saints already, you might not be praying for them at all. So the Lord is bringing good even out of that, because it'll get you to pray more. And maybe you'll go to daily Mass and pray the rosary every day for your kids where you otherwise might not have. But because maybe some of the family members have strayed, it will encourage you to become a better person, a better Catholic, to be the Saint Monica in their life. And you know, Monica got a lot more than she bargained for. I mean, she just prayed that Augustine would, you know, come back to the practice of the faith, and he became, you know, a great saint. You know, she prayed that he would just settle down and marry a good Catholic girl. He became a celibate priest and bishop. And she prayed that he would give up his heresies. He became a great doctor of the church. To see how God made Augustine a great saint and Monica a great saint because she prayed for this fallen away Catholic, for her son Augustine. So Monica is a great patron saint for those who have kids or grandkids that have left the faith or that are married to a spouse that's an unbeliever. As the Bible says, for example, the believing spouse can help sanctify the unbelieving spouse through prayer and penance and mortification. Some of your kids might be a lifetime project, or some of your grandkids might be a lifetime project. The thing to do is pray. Don't worry, don't have anxiety, but pray and do penance for their conversion. Entrust them to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Say, Mary, I place so-and-so into your Immaculate Heart. I entrust them to you. And I do believe that if we are faithful in entrusting souls into Mary's Immaculate Heart, that she'll eventually bring them around even in the end. Even if it's not maybe during our lifetime, maybe it'll be after our death, but hopefully before their own death, on their deathbed. Many cases of people been away from the church a long time. I mean, the story of Father Carapi, it's a wonderful story. You know, he was born and raised Catholic. Stopped really going to church when he was 13, 16 years old. And then, you know, he was in the military and he was in business, was in Las Vegas working in the casinos. Then he went to Hollywood and went out to Los Angeles and became a multi-millionaire. And he left. He hadn't gone to church in about 20 years. He hadn't gone to confession in 20 years. And then he got involved in cocaine. He went to a party in the Hollywood Hills with all the famous movie stars and one beautiful young actress said, I'd like to introduce you to my best friend. So she took him into another room and opened up and she says, here is my best friend, cocaine. He started doing cocaine that night. And a couple years later, he was doing $10,000 a week buying cocaine for himself and for his friends. He lost everything. He lost his job, his house, his cars, his yacht. I mean, he had a house overlooking the ocean. He had a 60-foot yacht. his bedroom was 2,500 square feet. That was just his bedroom, bigger than some people's houses. Well, he lost everything because of the cocaine. He wound up in a mental institution for over a year. And finally he got out and was a homeless man on the street for a year or two in Los Angeles. And finally his mom was able to track him down, and she sent him a holy card which said, "Say one Hail Mary." Had a picture of Mary, had the Hail Mary on the back. And he says, "Well, I'll do that." And so he said, "One Hail Mary a day, just one." He wasn't going to become a fanatic, right? He was only going to say it one time, but he didn't know how to say it. He forgot. So he had to read the card, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Eventually, he was given the grace to come back home, started praying the rosary every day, which led him to read the Bible, which led him to have a conversion experience where he went back to confession after 20 years. And he went off to a monastery, went to the seminary. He was ordained by Pope John Paul II in 1991, so he's been ordained now for 15 years. What a great story. But his mother never stopped praying for him, and she entrusted him to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to our Blessed Mother. And it was through that one Hail Mary that was the sort of the safety line, the safety rope, the lifesaver that was thrown out to him, and that's what pulled him back to the faith. What a wonderful story that is. You know, Mary is like the moon. When I drove here tonight, there's a beautiful moon out tonight. So Mary represents the moon because she perfectly reflects the light of the sun. The sun represents Christ, the source of grace. So keep that in mind with your gone away friends, brother, sister, kids. Entrust them to Our Lady, because Our Lady is the infallible means to bring somebody back to Christ. Now, other qualities we need to have besides charity and love. Bishop Sheen says there are three things you need to bring people into the church. You might want to write these down. The first one he said was kindness. Okay. Number two was kindness, and number three was kindness. So he says don't underestimate the value of kindness. In fact, that Father Crappie says when he was a homeless man on the street, he used to sit in the park, and gangs would come up and spit on him. And he was so near, near committing suicide as far as, wanting to give up everything. And he said, once a little lady walked by, a little old lady walked by, and she smiled at him. And that was during one of his darkest hours. And that gave him the grace to keep going. That he said that act of kindness, that smile, probably saved his life. That when he received that kindness, he sort of his suicidal thoughts vanished, and it made a huge difference. So don't underestimate the value of a kind word, a kind deed, a kind action towards another person. It might just be what brings them back to the Lord. I'd also recommend, if you could, to try to get a priest involved in bringing back your kids or grandkids or fallen away Catholics that you know, because St. Margaret Mary told, the Lord told St. Margaret Mary, "I will give to priests the power to touch the most hardened hearts. I will give priests the grace to touch the most hardened hearts." And priests, because they are ordained and are the presence of Christ through their ordination, because Christ lives within them as an alter Christus, they have a special grace to bring back fallen away Catholics and to help with converts. Think of St. John Vianney. He helped to save 800,000 souls. Remember, the devil even revealed it. He said if there were three priests like St. John Vianney in the world at one time, the kingdom of Satan would be destroyed. So they say he helped save 800,000 souls. He would hear confessions for 10, 15, 18 hours a day. Amazing. And because of his holiness, he could touch souls. Now, he wasn't the best preacher. In fact, he had a high, shrieking voice. Some of the guys, and he did this on purpose because so many of the men would come to his homilies and just try to sleep through the homilies, but he would just pound and shriek at the top of his voice in his high, shrilly voice, so he kept people from falling asleep. But because of his holiness, he was able to touch so many souls. St. Louis de Montfort helped to bring back tens of thousands of souls in Western France during his time giving missions. Oh, St. Dominic, again, a great preacher, a great priest, they say helped to convert over 100,000 souls from Albigensianism. Oh, St. Francis de Sales, they say, brought back 72,000 Calvinists back to the Catholic Church. See how God uses priests. So if you can, try to introduce priests to your kids or grandkids. Try to bring people to Mass if you can, or invite the priest over for dinner, over to do a house blessing, and then, or maybe a Sacred Heart enthronement, and then invite the priest to meet some of your fallen away Catholic neighbors and friends. So keep that in mind, because it does help a lot to try to bring a priest into the life of some of the people. You know, in the life of St. Augustine, it was St. Ambrose who helped to bring him back to the church. See, Augustine had been away for all those years, so the prayers of Monica made a big difference. And then when Augustine read the book, The Life of St. Anthony of the Desert, but when he heard Ambrose preaching, that helped to bring him back. So even in the case of Augustine, the priest played a role in the bringing back of the person to the faith. The second point, remember I mentioned three things: holy people, holy places, and holy things. Holy places, this has to do with trying to get our fallen away friends to go to holy places, monasteries and shrines and churches. For example, many people will go to visit the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And when they go into that church, their heart is touched. You know, there's grace, because the Blessed Sacrament is there in the tabernacle, and there are graces just by being in the Catholic Church, seeing the statues and the stained glass windows and the beautiful images. So let's say if you have a fallen away Catholic friend, say, well, let's go into D.C. and go to the museums and then stop by the shrine. You know, just walk through the shrine, get a tour. See, that can plant that seed that could help bring about a conversion. Or take them to the Franciscan monastery in D.C. That has brought a lot of people back to church. Many times people will go on trips to Italy or France. When they're there, encourage them to visit some Catholic places. You know, if they're in southern France, tell them to stop by Lourdes and just make a visit at Lourdes and stop by there, because just by being at a holy shrine, there are graces that they can pick up in a place like that. People, when they go to Rome, yes, see all the architecture, but stop in St. Peter's, or stop in St. Mary Major, St. John Lateran, St. Paul's, and or the catacombs. See, that's why it's so important that if people are going to these places, encourage them to visit some of these Catholic places, because by seeing the catacombs, for example, their faith might be inspired or ignited to come back to church. Many countless souls have been converted at Lourdes, at Fatima, Medjugorje. I've never been to Medjugorje. I don't know if it's authentic or not. The church hasn't, you know, officially said, but I know countless souls that have gone there on pilgrimage that have been converted. They went back to confession after 10, 20, 30 years. But I primarily recommend going to the Apulian apparitions like Guadalupe, Our Lady of Knock, Lourdes, Fatima. But that's the idea, is that take people to these holy places, these holy shrines. Some of the places, for example, like monasteries or cathedrals of Europe, places like Notre Dame or Chartres, when people go into these magnificent cathedrals and they see sort of the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into building these magnificent cathedrals, sometimes they're inspired and they're given the gift of faith. Cemeteries are holy places as well. Taking people to go, let's say, pray at a tomb, it helps them maybe to think about their own death. And cemeteries are holy places, and many people have been converted by going to places like this. Also, of course, any parish church, any Catholic church with a tabernacle is a holy place, so we should do our best to bring our fallen away Catholic friends to Mass. Even if they only come at Christmas and Easter, just by coming to Mass, being in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, could help plant the seeds that could bring about their conversion. That's why at Christmas and Easter, you know, we see people that that you never see during the rest of the year. They really, I guess sometimes call them what are the flowers that are out there? Poinsettias and lily catheters, because every time they come to church, they only see flowers at Mass. I remember there was a fellow that, I guess, had come to church, and the priest says, I don't see you at church much. And the fellow said, I'm in the Secret Service. You know, he says, the priest said to him, Brother, I want you to join the army of the Lord. I want you to come to Mass every Sunday. And the fellow says, No, I'm in the Secret Service. I only come Christmas and Easter. So the idea is that we want to get people to come to Mass, and even if they only come Christmas and Easter, use that as an opportunity. Like at my church, we always give gifts out at Christmas and Easter to everybody that comes. Usually we've given the Scott Hahn conversion CD to every Catholic. Everybody that comes gets a conversion tape. Or Kimberly Hahn's conversion, or Marcus Grody's conversion, or Jeff Cadens. Or if we don't give out a CD, we give out a booklet, like the Guide to Confession, or a prayer book, or something that can help get these people back to church. Because sometimes you only have people that come to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter, so make use of that time. Another place that we can sort of get some of these fallen away Catholics back is when they have a baby baptized. See, there are different moments of grace in an adult's life. When they have children, often God uses a child to bring the parents back. So the baptismal class should be a time for evangelization. And we give a lot of information when people come to our baptismal class. How to go to confession, how to pray the rosary. We give them a miraculous medal, pictures of Jesus and Mary. We give them a lot of things. Because it's one of our few opportunities to get these young adults educated in the faith. So baptismal classes, and then the sacrament of baptism, when they come to have their children baptized. That's a moment of grace, and we can reach out to the parents in that way. Another one is when the parents have kids who make their first penance and first communion. When the kids make their first Holy Communion, that can be a time to reach the parents as well. And that's why when we have first penance, I always have an extra priest there. We always have like five or six priests hearing confessions. We designate one priest just to hear the grown-ups' confessions. And that way, while their kids are going to confession, the grown-ups can go too. And many people have gone back to confession 5, 10, 20 years because they're given the grace, because when they see their kid going, they want to give a good example and they go as well. First communion is a great time too, because many times people have been away from the church, but they want their kids to receive First Communion. And so at the First Communion retreat, or maybe at the First Communion Mass, we can reach out to those parents, and they can come back as well. If we don't get them then, there's always the sacrament of confirmation when their kids are 13. That's another opportunity, because that's when they get to, you know, meet the bishop and see the bishop. That could be a moment of grace. So use these opportunities in your parish, at confirmation, to reach out to the parents as well. If you don't get them confirmation, then we try to get them when they get married, okay? Pre-Cana classes can be a real source of evangelization. When they meet with the priest or deacon, that's a great opportunity to educate people in the faith. When they go on the pre-Cana conferences, and when we do their wedding, you know, if they have a good experience with the church, with the priest, and their marriage prep and the wedding, they can come back. Now, if they don't come back during that time, we can always get them when they have to go to the hospital. And when they go to the hospital, when we visit them, we can reach out to them. And they say, if you're nice to people when they're in the hospital, or when they're hurting or in pain, we'll be friends for life. Or if you're good to people, let's say if they have a loss of a loved one, and you help out the spouse, or help out the children when somebody in the family dies, they say that that's a big thing to bring people back. So we can always get people in the hospital or in the nursing home. Now, it is getting a little, you know, late when people get to the nursing home, but as long as we get them back to church, even if they're in the nursing home, we'll take it. We'll accept that. And then sometimes we can even when they lose a loved one, reach out to the rest of the family and use that as a moment of grace. So just keep those opportunities in mind. And lastly, I just want to mention about holy things. So I mentioned holy people, holy places, and what about holy things? Holy things are sacramentals, books, tapes, literature that we can use to be instruments to bring people back to the church. The sacramentals are wonderful. Because even if somebody has left the church and left the sacraments, even if they can't go to confession and communion, for example, it might be an invalid marriage, by giving them a sacramental, let's say a miraculous medal, a rosary, a holy card, they can use the sacramentals of the church. Remember that sacramentals lead people back to the sacrament. I've seen this countless times. Like some of you might have heard of Alphonse Ratisbon. Alphonse was a Jewish atheist. His brother converted to the Catholic faith and was baptized, and his brother gave Alphonse a miraculous medal. And Alphonse just kept it in his pocket. But one day he was in Rome, and he was looking at architecture, and he was drawn to go into a Catholic church. And he went into and saw the Shrine of Our Lady. Immediately, he fell to his knees because Mary appeared to him. And Mary infused him with the knowledge of the Catholic faith. After he got up, he wanted to be baptized. And so he went to the priest, and the priest said, "Who instructed you?" And he said, "I don't know, I've just been infused with..." He got like 9 months of RCIA in 10 minutes. He was just enlightened with the knowledge of the truth. And it was attributed to Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, because he accepted that sacramental. And that became like a channel of grace in his life. Another example would be Bartolo Longo. He's the only former Satanist that is now beatified on his way to canonization that I'm aware of in the history of the church. Bartolo Longo was a teenager, got involved in Satanism, went to the University of Naples in Italy, left the practice of the faith, and he became a high priest in the Church of Satan. But his friend never stopped praying for him, prayed the rosary for him, and through the power of the rosary, Bartolo Longo became a believer and came back to the Catholic faith. So there's always hope. Even if a former Satanist can come back to the faith, then certainly your kids, your grandkids, or others can come back as well. But it was through the power of the rosary that he was brought back. And then Bartolo Longo loved the rosary so much, because he attributed his conversion to it, that he established the Shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary in Pompeii, Italy. He's the one who built that shrine. But John Paul II beatified him in 1982. Other sacramentals that are helpful would be the green scapular. These sacramentals work because of the faith of the individual or the person giving the sacramental. If you have great faith, and pray that prayer on the miraculous medal or the green scapular, God can use that to help bring about that person's conversion into the faith. But besides sacramentals, which are very good, rosaries, scapulars, things like that, miraculous medals, books are wonderful. A person could become converted by reading one good book. This happened in the life of St. Edith Stein. Edith Stein was an atheist from the time she was 13 years old. And when she was in her early 20s, she went to visit her girlfriend. And her friend had a copy of the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila. And Edith Stein said, "Could I borrow it?" And so she read it in one night. And in the morning, she was Catholic. I mean, she believed in the Catholic Church. So she went and bought a catechism, devoured it. And then she went to the priest and wanted to get baptized. And he said, "Who instructed you?" She said, "No one. I just read these books." And he asked her all sorts of questions, and she could answer them. It was the power of one book brought about her conversion. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, was hit by a cannonball in his leg. It smashed his leg. When he was recovering in the castle, he wanted to read the romance novel, like the Harlequin romance, but they didn't have any in the castle, thanks be to God. And so they gave him a book of saints and the Gospels. He read those two books and was converted. And then he went off to become the founder of the Jesuits. St. John Colombini, his wife was Catholic. He was a fallen away Catholic. And she was cooking dinner for him. And he got very upset because dinner wasn't ready. And she says, you know, be patient. Why don't you just read this book while you're waiting? And he got mad and he threw it to the ground. But then he sort of felt guilty, so he picked it up and he began reading it, and it converted him. And he became a practicing Catholic, and now he's a canonized saint. So one book can make a difference in the life of Augustine. It was the reading of the life of St. Anthony of the Desert that brought about his conversion. Then there are cassette tapes and CDs. This is so valuable. So many people have time in their car that they could use to deepen their faith. I've given out thousands of Scott Hunt conversions, Jeff Cavins, Marcus Grody. I mean, these great convert stories are so powerful. When I was newly ordained priest, you know, 16 years ago, there was a young fellow. He just got married, but he was a fallen away Catholic. He's very big into sales and marketing. And so I used to give him a lot of cassette tapes on business and sales and finance. And then I just threw in the Scott Hunt conversion tape. I just put it in the stack. A week later, he called me, and he was so on fire with the faith. He says, oh, I got to get more Scott Hunt tapes. You know, and then he went back to confession, went back to church, started going to daily mass, has now, I think, has 7 kids right now. So he's wonderful. But he attributes it to listening to that one conversion tape, that one story. So give out these tapes. Again, holy people, holy places, holy things. I think the movie of the Passion of the Christ was so powerful because that was almost like a sacramental. When people saw that movie, there are countless stories where people, after seeing the movie, they went to confession, or they went back to church, and they showed it in the prison, and like, half the guys, you know, went to confession to the priest after watching that. See, these holy things God can use to bring people back. My dad has made 4 record albums, 4 CDs over the years, and my dad got a letter from a fella in New Zealand. He had been listening to one of my dad's songs, a song about St. Joseph. He had been away from church for 30 years. After he heard that song, he began to cry. And it touched his heart so much that he went back to church and back to confession after 30 years just by hearing a Catholic song. Other things like the videotape on the story of Fatima, or the song of Bernadette, or the movie The Ten Commandments, or the Passion movie, these things have been very helpful to bring people back. And lastly, literature, which should be the last thing that we should also don't hesitate to give out literature booklets on how to go to confession. Leave them around the house, okay? So that hopefully the fallen away person will pick up the booklet on confession and go back. See, some people don't go to confession because they forget how to go. And they don't know. They don't know if they bless me, Father, for I've sinned. They forget what to do. And I've had people come in and say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts. You know, so which is fine, then I help lead them in the right way. But sometimes people don't go to confession because they forget. But if they have a booklet, like when I go to airports and things, you can be sort of like a Catholic litter bug, only in a good sense. Like you could leave a holy card of Jesus or leave a little booklet on confession on the metro or whatever. I'll tell you, our Protestant friends are doing that. You pick up these chick books, these anti-Catholic comic books that people leave all over. Well, why don't we leave a couple good booklets around? So the Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth booklet, or a Holy Card of Jesus with the prayer of St. Francis on it or whatever. See, reading even one Holy Card can bring somebody back to church. A friend of mine in the seminary was walking out the church door one day. He was only a nominal Catholic, but he saw the little Holy Card, How to Pray the Rosary, so he picked it up. And then he went out and bought himself a rosary, began praying the rosary, which led him to daily mass, which led him to the seminary. Now he's a priest for 15 years in Lincoln, Nebraska. One little holy card on how to pray the rosary is amazing. It did the trick. There's a priest in the Philippines, Father Ronald Tangan. He had gone to church one morning. He's hungover from the night before, and he said the homily was so lousy, he said he vowed never to go back to a Catholic church. But on the way out, he noticed a little pamphlet about the miraculous medal. And he remembered that his mom used to wear a medal. She used to pin it to her blouse. And he said, so on the way out, he picked it up, and he read the story of the miraculous medal. He says, well, it's either true or not. Mary either appeared or she didn't. So that led him to go to a Catholic bookstore and buy a miraculous medal. And the fellow at the store was pretty smart because he says, well, here's a medal, but let me show you a couple other books as well. Sold him a book on the story of Fatima, and maybe like an Imitation of Christ and Catechism. He went home and he read them, and he came back to church, back to confession, daily mass, and then he has since read 500 books on the lives of the saints, and he founded a religious order in the Philippines working as a missionary, all because of that one pamphlet of the miraculous medal that he found in the back of the church. So have this information available in the back of church, in your home. Use these things, booklets about confession, booklets about annulments, because sometimes people are away from church because they're in a second marriage, and you need to give them this literature so that it could help them get back to church. So I encourage you to look into these things, and myself, I've been involved with the Legion of Mary for over 32 years since I was a little 10-year-old kid, and to me, that was very valuable, very helpful, because it got me to evangelize. And we used in the Legion these tools like the miraculous medal and the rosary and the scapulars. And so I pass it on to you that if you do want an organization that I think is one of the best in the church for bringing back fallen away Catholics, I'd recommend getting involved in that. So now we'll have a chance if anybody wants to ask a couple questions. Remember those things, holy people, holy places, and holy things are what God wants to use, I think, to bring people back to church. So any questions or comments? Yeah. I think it's the number one reason why, I think marriage is the number one reason why people convert to the Catholic Church, because they might be Protestant and they marry a Catholic, and then sometimes that leads them to go to RCIA and become a Catholic. But I think the marriage situation is also the number one reason why people leave the church, because they were married in the Catholic Church, and they maybe didn't work out, they got divorced, and then they wanted to get married again to somebody else, and they sort of had to make a choice. Do I remain faithful to the church and remain faithful to going to the communion and the sacraments, or do I give up my faith, communion, to marry this other person? And many people have chosen that other way. Now, what sometimes happens is that many years pass, maybe the first spouse dies. Now, you can't kill them off, obviously. You know, but if God forbid, if they do pass away, then that person is then free to marry in the Catholic Church. Or the only other option for them is to go through the annulment process to see if their first marriage was a true marriage in the eyes of God. So I would recommend that they at least try to go through the annulment process. If they're unwilling to do that, then they should go to Mass, pray, but not receive the sacraments. But they should try to participate in the faith as much as they can by daily prayer. I'd recommend praying the daily rosary for their situation. Daily rosary is very powerful. There are many people that thought that their case was hopeless, that they could never come back to the church. They started praying the rosary every single day, and miracles happened, and they were able to come back to the church and get married in the church. So that's one thing I'd recommend. Even if they can't go to communion and confession, encourage them to go to Mass. Listen to the homily, participate as much as they can, receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday, the palms on Palm Sunday, pray the rosary every day, but to refrain from going to the sacraments. Or many of them will live as brother and sister. You know, and if that's the case, they can talk to their priest and get special permission. Many couples that are older have made that decision. They live separate rooms, separate bedrooms. They live as brother and sister, and they each go to confession, and they can go back to the sacraments. that can happen too. So there's some options there. Some are willing to do that, others are not willing to do that. But that is an option that they'd have to talk to the priest to get special permission for that. As long as it doesn't cause scandal, like some people don't realize whether or not they're married in the church, so it wouldn't cause any scandal. If they're living as brother and sister and able to go to the sacraments in that way. But we don't want to lose the people, but we also can't water down Jesus' teaching. If he divorces his wife and marries another, commits adultery, we can't water that down either. Great question. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. Yes, so you can call the diocese, and there are groups for the separated and divorced to help them to live their faith and to encourage them. Yeah, there are groups in the diocese for that. I don't know if they're out this far, but they might be. I'm out pretty far, too. I'm in Gainesville, which is pretty far out compared to D.C. or to Arlington, but I think you're all a little bit further, I think. So, anyway, there might not be anything nearby, but you know, there are groups in Arlington Diocese that give support for that. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? Yes. Yes, I would say just as much, even for non-Catholics, because to expose non-Catholics to these things can help to open their hearts to God's grace. Meeting holy people, going to holy places, and reading or coming into contact with holy things. Yes, I would say very emphatically that these things can be just as good for non-Catholics to open their hearts to God's grace to bring them into the church. Yes, yeah. Another question? Well, in my own parish, I have five groups of the Legion of Mary. One for the little kids, ages about 8 to 10, 8 to 11. Another one from ages 12 to 17. And then we have three groups for the adults. And we have people of every age group. We have people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. We have people even in their 70s that are out there knocking on doors. So I would say that there's one response to that is, in the Legion of Mary, for example, there's many kinds of work that can be done. Yes, one of the best is home-to-home visitation, just doing a parish census of starting at one end of the street and just working your way down. The thing is, even if nobody's home, you leave like a packet of a welcome letter, maybe a few holy cards, and the parish bulletin. And I can tell you, almost every Sunday, somebody shows up at my church and they said, oh, we're here because somebody left us at our doorstep. I mean, that could change a whole person's life. Get their kids baptized, get their kids making First Communion, just because somebody left the parish bulletin and they wrote a note, please come and visit us. The best way to overcome your fear of that is to go ahead and do it. You just knock on doors, and the more you do it, the easier it gets. However, there's more than door-to-door in the Legion. There's also welcoming new families that join the parish, going to visit them. That's easier to do because they're already Catholic, they're already registered, and you just go and welcome them to the parish and maybe give them some literature and a rosary and some holy cards and visit with them. We also do hospital visits, nursing home visits, shut-in visits, work with the junior group. So I would say that if somebody could still be in the Legion and not necessarily have to go door-to-door. And sometimes you can start out by visiting shut-ins, nursing homes, hospitals, and then work your way up to home-to-home visitation. But the more you do it, the easier it is. And the Holy Spirit is out there with you, too. So I would just not be afraid, but just go ahead and do it. And you can reach so many souls through like a group like the Legion. So I would really recommend it to get one started out here and get involved. Yeah. Normally, you start the senior group first for the adults, and then they start the one for the kids. Normally, but there might be some exceptions. You might be able to get a junior group started if people come from another parish, let's say, to help you get the junior group started.